Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Since week 9, Goff has thrown for 1,448 yards, 10 touchdowns, 1 interception. He's completing 65% of his passes during this time, has a quarterback rating of 102.4, currently 8th in passing yards, 10th in touchdowns, 7th in passer rating, and 6th in QBR. Jared Goff is lighting it up, JJ.
He's playing some good football. They won the last 5 out of their 6 games. They're built a confidence. He's been a connection with his wide receiver core. His running back is taking some pressure off of him with Swift and Williams in the backfield. Defense is playing complimentary football as well.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Pro Football Chase podcast. It's Isaac Sines with you on this Tuesday morning, and I'm joined by my co-host, NFL safety J.J. Wilcox, as we get ready for week 15 of the NFL season. As we roll on and we're getting closer to the playoffs, it has been a crazy season and more bizarre results here in week 14. Quite the season. Excited to discuss some of these matchups, JJ. First things first, brother, how you doing on this Tuesday?
Man, I'm doing blessed. I'm doing good, man. Up moving around this morning. It's a blessing to get up and not take for granted for what you have in front of you, man. So I'm excited for this week. I didn't do as good as I planned on last week, but I did a little better. So I'm excited, man. How about your way?
I'm doing well. And yes, to your point, you did do good. You beat me 8-5 this week, JJ. I went 7-6. You got me with that Patriots and Cardinals matchup last night, so you won the head-to-head matchup. I won last week. You got this week, so we'll see what week 15. I do want to say condolences, thoughts, and prayers to the Leach family. For those of you that have not heard, Mississippi State head coach Mike Leach passed away this morning at the age of 61 due to heart complications. And so that is such a tragic situation for all those involved and a lot of different NFL executives, coaches, players. I mean, they've been impacted by his coaching throughout their careers. And so I certainly did want to open up the podcast by sending my condolences to his friends, to his family, and to his players.
Yep. No, I learned a lot about him back when I was in college and even my early careers as well in the Dallas Cowboys, man. And it's a sad situation. He was a great coach. He did a lot of great things. But beside that, I know he was a great guy and a great family man as well. So my condolences to him and his family at this time. My prayers are with them. I ask, you know, peace and for understanding for him and his family in this time.
We're going to go ahead and pivot out of that sad news and get into the NFL, JJ. And before we get into our players of the week, as we do every Tuesday on the Pro Football Jays podcast, I do want to give our listeners an updated listen to where the playoff standings currently sit. So in the AFC, no change there. The Bills, number one seed at 10-3. The Chiefs at number 2, 10-3. Ravens still leading the AFC North, 9-4. Titans, despite losing 2 games in a row, are still the 4th seed with a 7-6 record. And then at the 5th seed is the Cincinnati Bengals, who are currently the number 1 wild card spot, 9-4. Dolphins, despite losing 2 in a row, they're still clinging on to the 6th seed, 8-5. Patriots, after that win last night, they are now into the wild card picture, 7th seed, 7-6 overall. Now for the NFC, Eagles 12-1 remain the number 1 seed and will get that first round bye. Number two, Minnesota Vikings, despite losing, still 10-3. They're the 2-seed, 3-seed. San Francisco 49ers, 9-4. Buccaneers, number 4-seed, 6-7. And then the Dallas Cowboys holding the number one wild card spot, 10-3. Commanders, 6-seed, 7-5-1. And then the Giants, 7-seed, 7-5-1. So things are heating up, JJ, in both the wild card pictures here for AFC and NFC. And we're at the point, we talked about it last night, where every single game moving forward into this stretch, JJ, is essentially a playoff game.
Yeah, yeah. Even more so now, man. It's a lot of teams that's on the bubble or on the verge of seasons that can make or break you. You know, it's a lot of divisional matchups that's coming up here, and a lot of these matchups have playoff implications. So, like you say, man, every week moving forward is going to be considered like a playoff-type game. So I'm excited for what's in store, and some teams that might sneak in there that we thought maybe was out might be sneaking back in. So curious to see how the playoffs turn out this year.
Well, let's get into the player of the week, and I'll go first here. I have one selection and then an honorable mention. So my player of the week was Lions quarterback Jared Goff. And going all the way back to the preseason, he was one of the players. We did a segment under the radar players, and I brought up Jared Goff because I don't think he gets enough respect for the type of production he's been putting out since that trade to Detroit. Goff right now, still 28 years old. He's leading the fourth best offense, seventh ranked passing attack, and has been instrumental in the Lions winning five of their last six games. They're now 6-7 overall, JJ. He threw for 330 yards, three touchdowns, leading the surging Lions to a 34-23 win over the NFC North leading Minnesota Vikings on Sunday. And since week nine, Goff has thrown for 1,448 yards, 10 touchdowns, one interception. That interception was all the way back in week nine. He's completing 65% of his passes during this time, has a quarterback rating of 102.4, currently 8th in passing yards, 10th in touchdowns, 7th in passer rating, and 6th in QBR. Jared Goff is lighting it up, JJ.
Yeah, absolutely. He's playing some good football. They won the last five out of their six games. They're built a confidence. He's been a connection with his wide receiver core. His running back is taking some pressure off of him with Swift and Williams in the backfield. Defense is playing complimentary football as well, not getting beat over the top. And also, like I told you, there's a team to watch because they couldn't actually finish. But now what they're doing now is they're actually finishing in the fourth quarter, finishing drives, finishing red zones, and getting points when they get close to the opponent's red zone. So my hats off to that Lions team. They've done a magic turnaround. We knew what they was capable of with Dan Campbell and the type of professionalism and leadership that they had in the front office, and it's starting to pay off for them.
Now, my honorable mention here, JJ, goes to Baker Mayfield. I know this was kind of an afterthought because they did play on Thursday, so the first game of week 14 after all of Sunday's action and Monday night, it kind of gets lost in the thick of things. But I have to bring up Baker Mayfield just because what he did was pretty significant. It was remarkable. Oh, yeah. 2 days getting claimed off waivers by the Rams. He was cut by the Panthers. Debuts, comes on in replace of John Wolford, completes 22 of 35 passes, 230 yards, and then the game-winning touchdown to Van Jefferson with 9 seconds left. That was an absolute dime. More importantly, he put an end to the Rams' six-game losing streak. Baker Mayfield, say what you want about him. He's probably been one of the most scrutinized quarterbacks in the NFL, JJ. We all know this, but you have to give the man his flowers for showing up one day of practice, one day of installation with Sean McVay's offense, getting in there, leading that team to a win. That was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, that was probably one of the most miraculous things I've seen in a while, because we know how hard it is to play in this league and to do it within 2 days, not even knowing who you was lining up against or lining up in front of you or lining up out wide from you. Yet alone to do that in 2 days and build a chemistry and to drop a dime in the last second of the game, because it shows a lot of composure that Baker Mayfield had faced. And then he didn't hit outside noise. We all knew that he was under pressure and he was under scrutiny for things he was done in Carolina and towards the end of Cleveland Browns too. But hey, man, when you get an opportunity in this league, you have to, you know, put up a shut up, and that's what Baker did, man. So my hats is off to him. He did things, and that, like I say, people don't should take like it, because that's very hard to do. And expect in the NFL to go out there and perform at a high elite level with just 2 days of installation.
I had a couple of them myself, but I'm going to stay with the defensive side this week. I'm going to go with the young 24-year-old outside linebacker for the Patriots. He had an outstanding game, Joshua Uche. He played an amazing game last night. He went 4 tackles, 1 assist with 3 sacks. And on the other side, Matt Judon, he did a great well as well. He had 1.5 sacks as well. So my hat's off to both of those guys. But Joshua Uche is my MVP for this week. He did a great job of beating a veteran presence at Kevin Beachum at the right tackle for the Cardinals. He went up and under. He did bull rush. He did everything. He utilized all his skill set. And he's still young. I mentioned he's 24 years old. So he stepped up in a big way to help the offense with the Patriots and then the defense as well. And my hat's off to him this week.
Josh Uche, he's in his third year, Uche. JJ. Yeah, a little bit of an interesting pronunciation with that last name, but yeah, he was active last night all over the field, and him and Matt Judon are starting to form a dynamic rushing duo there in New England, and he was certainly a factor in that Patriots win that has now put them in the wild card spot as we enter week 15. And that is a perfect segue, JJ, because we get into week number 15 on Thursday Night Football. 49ers 9-4 at the Seattle Seahawks 7-6. This is an NFC West battle. Now, JJ, implications in this game are pretty severe right now, because with the win, the 49ers can clinch the NFC West in Seattle for a second time in 4 seasons. Meanwhile, the Seahawks, after that loss to the Carolina Panthers on their home turf, they're currently half a game back of the Giants for the 7th wild card spot. So this is a massive game, not only for the Niners to get that NFC West title, but for the Seahawks on a short week trying to fight for a playoff spot. This is for all the marbles here, and I can't wait to watch it on Thursday. It should be a good one, JJ, and I'm a little bit torn as to who I want to pick, because I know the Niners, they're playing some hot football. Seattle, though, they have sputtered a little bit. Kenneth Walker was out, and his status for Thursday is still uncertain. Right now, Seattle hasn't really been able to stop the run. That's been their Achilles heel. You saw Carolina go up there and rush for over 100 yards, and so for those reasons, and Brock Purdy talked about him last week, Mr. Irrelevant, looking sharp, efficient, making throws down the field. I know Deebo Samuel's down for the next couple of weeks, but I still like the Niners here to get the job done because of that defense, the best defense in the NFL. Give me the Niners here in a close game, JJ. Hostile environment there in Seattle, but 2017, I have the Niners.
Yeah, I think the 49ers right now is breeding off their confidence that they have. They've taken care of business. They've beat some very good quality teams over the last few weeks. And it just go to hats off to that defense and what they're doing, the offense as well. They can put up points at any given time. They have a lot of home run hitters over there. As far as Seattle, it was a sad loss for them to Carolina, just because of the reason that, you know, they was running away with the West for a while. And now 49ers seem to have sensed that and picked a sense of urgency up, man. So to Seattle, I want to give it to Geno Smith. I like what he's been doing over the time, and he's still doing a tremendous job with the adversity that he's been facing. But I'm going to go with 49ers. I think they're rolling right now. Their defense is playing good ball, and I like for them to go to Seattle and take care of business.
We have 3 games on Saturday, JJ. So we have the bowl games for college football starting on Friday, but I'm always elated when we get 3 matchups on a Saturday, and that's what we have coming up. At 12 p.m., we'll have the first game of the 3, and it's going to be the Indianapolis Colts, 4-8-1, taking on the Minnesota Vikings, who are 10-3. All games will be on NFL Network. The Vikings coming off a disappointing loss to the Detroit Lions, where JJ, Minnesota's offense was firing in all cylinders. Kirk Cousins threw for over 400 yards. Justin Jefferson had over 200 receiving yards. But that just goes to show you how potent that Lions offense is. And so they ended up losing that game. The Colts, you know, they're coming off the bye week. Right now, they're probably just trying to wind down the season after that drubbing by the Dallas Cowboys. And so it's a no-brainer here for me, JJ. I'm going with Minnesota, 31-16. I think they're able to rebound after that tight loss at home. And right now, Kirk Cousins, you have to give him a lot of credit, Kevin O'Connell, for the work he's done. I want to see Minnesota's defense play better. They've gotten shredded these last couple of weeks. Ed Donatell is going to have to make some adjustments, but I like the Vikings right here.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, like I say, at any given time, you can be beating this NFL, man. It's go to show you even more so in your divisional. So just a hats off to the Lions taking care of business with a great Minnesota Vikings team that they've done. Like you say, the Vikings, Kirk Cousins did a tremendous job of playing good football. And then Sorway as well as Jefferson. But that big hole in the defense with Harrison Smith being gone is definitely showing up. The safety position, I think it's a position that always get overlooked. But I think it's kind of show more, you know. Hopefully, like they said, they can get back to the drawing board and get back on the winning track. But I like Minnesota Vikings where I think their defense is a little too much. The Colts offense is still kind of struggling to get pieces together and do different things as that. So give me Minnesota Vikings as well.
Second game on Saturday, Ravens 9-4 at the Browns 5-8. This is a pivotal game for the Browns, JJ, as they try to stay afloat in the playoff race. They dropped another game on Sunday. Deshaun Watson is kind of look a little bit rusty now. 3:30 p.m. kickoff. They'll be at home, and they may be getting the Ravens at a good time because they are banged up. Still going to be without Lamar Jackson. Tyler Huntley is in concussion protocol, so they were down to quarterback 3, Anthony Brown, when they squeaked out that win in Pittsburgh. I wouldn't put it past Baltimore, though, because they do have J.K. Dobbins back in that rushing attack. But, JJ, upset pick of the week right here. Give me the Cleveland Browns, the dog pound. I think they get the job done. They ride Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, Deshaun Watson. Has to be a little bit more crisp with his passes down the field. That'll help now that Cooper is a little bit healthier. I know he was banged up with a hip injury this past Sunday. But the Browns, in front of their home fans, they understand the significance of this game. They win this one by a point, 24-23, over their bitter divisional rivals.
Man, I guess we're on the same page. I was thinking the same thing, man. The dog pound, they're a different crew once they play in front of their own crowd, man. If you have never been to First Energy, it's a pretty good stadium, man. And those dog pounds, they get to rolling and doing different things. But for all the reasons you say, man, I think the Ravens offense, we know the centerpiece of that is Lamar Jackson. I think it's a different team once you line up with Lamar Jackson on the center. With his presence being gone, it kind of make him one-dimensional. We all know they're a big run-first team and in the league right now. And then when your quarterback, your head franchise quarterback is out, it kind of brings a different type of energy towards the team as well. So for all those reasons, I like Cleveland Brown to win it at home as well.
Dolphins 8-5 at the Bills 10-3. Saturday, 7:15 p.m. Central Time kickoff. The Dolphins, I know, two-game losing streak, currently the sixth seed. They're slipping, not headed in the right direction. Bills are clinging on to the number one seed in a potential first-round bye. The Chiefs are right there on their heels. So this is a very important game for both teams as well. Yeah. Divisional game. I like the Bills here, JJ. The Dolphins, your guy Tua hasn't looked too good, man, these last 2 weeks. Maybe defenses are starting to figure out the blueprint to stop Mike McDaniel's offense. The Bills defense, meanwhile, coming off a dominant performance on Sunday where they were just all over Mike White and Joe Flacco. I think they had 5 or 6 sacks. And despite Von Miller being done for the season, that Bills front 7 is still getting after it. Greg Rousseau, Shaq Lawson, and then now having those two linebackers, Matt Milano, Tremaine Edmonds, healthy, I think is the difference. Josh Allen is playing good. They signed Cole Beasley back out of retirement this morning, giving Josh Allen another familiar weapon, one of your former teammates, JJ. Yeah. So I like the Bills here, 34-20. I think they win rather comfortably. They're peaking at the right time. I expect them to take care of the Dolphins and get vengeance from that first matchup loss.
Yeah, Tua, he's still sucking to him, Tua, man. But like you say, I think defense has kind of figured out the key pieces. They got to do some extra things. The things that they've been using in the first half of the season is going to change a little bit. When you get to the second half, teams have a lot of tape on you. Understand your tendencies, understand your playmakers, and play defense to that. So, like you say, for all the reasons, the Bills still playing good ball. They still can attack you from all different angles, from offensively, defensively. They draw up some different coverages and do some different things. And we all know this game the last time they played was very close down in Miami. So I'm excited to go back to Bills Mafia. And shout out to Cole Beasley, man, coming out of retirement and doing something that I know he's passionate about with a guy that he's familiar with as well. So my hat's off to them for all of those reasons, plus Cole Beasley, man. Give me Buffalo Bills.
Falcons 5-7 at the Saints 4-8. And as crazy as it sounds, JJ, these two teams are still right in the thick of it in the NFC South because of how bad that division is. So a win for either side can really give them some newfound hope to potentially win the NFC South because the Buccaneers dropped that game on Sunday. They're now 6-7. Now, here's the key headline news. Desmond Ridder, the rookie, will be making his first career start for the Atlanta Falcons. And so there's that nugget of information. JJ, I'm not sure if this qualifies for an upset pick of the week. I'm going to go with the Red Rifle, Andy Dalton. I think that Saints defense has started to play a little bit better. And I have no idea how they let that win fall from their grips in Tampa Bay last week. They had Tom Brady on the ropes. They collapse late on that final drive. Ridder is going to have to shake off some of those nerves. Saints force a couple of turnovers, giving New Orleans 23-17.
Oh, man. As much as I can't go with the Aints, man, the Saints, what they call them here in Atlanta. I'm going with my Dirty Birds, man, Atlanta Falcons. I think Ridder's going to bring it a different excitement. I think the players are going to be excited. We all seen what he did in the preseason, man. I'm excited for him to get a chance to go out there in a very, very, very hostile environment. And what other way to hush him up is to go out there and get the dub and put up some points. I think it's going to be a new Falcon team with Ridder underneath the center. Their defense is going to feed off of it. And, you know, they got all the odds against them going into a hostile environment. So give me my Dirty Birds to go.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Go into the Saints environment and pull off a W.
Cowboys 10-3 at the Jaguars 5-8. This is now the first game of Sunday slate of games, noon game. JJ, I'm a little bit nervous about this one, man. You know, the Jacksonville Jaguars, we know they're up and down every single week. When they're on, they're dangerous. They're blowing out teams like they did on Sunday against Tennessee. But when they're down, they're vulnerable. But Trevor Lawrence, though, he has shown out these last several weeks. You could tell that connection with Doug Peterson is starting to pay off for Jacksonville. And so despite the Cowboys being favorites here, I'm a little bit concerned about what this offense in Jacksonville can do to a Dallas secondary, JJ, that is injury depleted. You know, Anthony Brown's done for the season. Yeah. They're relying on Deron Bland. They're relying on Kelvin Joseph, who's been very inconsistent. I know Diggs was banged up with a thumb injury on Sunday. And so that does stress me out about this matchup. And Jacksonville has a ton of talent on that front seven as well. Josh Allen, Trevon Walker, the number one overall pick. Losing Terrence Steele was also big for Dallas, the starting right tackle. And so we may see the old vet Jason Peters shift to right tackle. But I'm very uneasy about this one. I'm still going to pick my Dallas Cowboys here, 27-24. But I expect it to be very, very tightly contested with a tough, rugged Jaguars team that's coached with a familiar foe of Dallas, Doug Peterson.
It's gonna be a fun game. I had a scare last week as well with the Houston Texans and what Dallas did, but they just go to show you, man, that you know in every team you step into, you have to be ready. I know I keep saying that, but it's very, very important. You can never overlook anybody team. Jacksonville Jaguars team was the team that tends to play their best ball against teams that they're overly matched with, but. Like, for your reasons, man, I think Dallas is going to be okay. This is a time for them to kind of check and see what kind of depth they got going into the playoffs and different scenarios. So it's going to be fun and interesting to see the new guys out there. They get a chance to play with a team that you shouldn't take lightly. Like I say, Doug Peterson knows he's been facing the Cowboys for over a lot of years now, so even when I was there as well. So I like the Dallas Cowboys here to take care of business, but I expect for it to be a very close game.
Eagles 12-1 at the Bears 3-10. I like Philadelphia here, JJ, 30-16. Right now, I know Justin Fields, you have to account for him, but Philadelphia, they're flying high right now, no pun intended. This is a team that is just throttling their opponents. We saw it again on Sunday against the Giants. Jalen Hurts is the clear-cut MVP front runner. Miles Sanders in that rushing attack led by Jason Kelce, that offensive line generating push at the line of scrimmage, and defensively two corners to lock things down, Darius Slay, James Bradbury. I like them to dominate the Bears here 30-16 as they look to secure that number one seed and first round bye.
Yeah, I agree with you for all the reasons as well, man. Philly's playing some great ball. They really doing a good job of playing good upfront football. The game is won in the trenches. And if you look on both sides of the ball for Philadelphia, from the O-line, like you say, from Kelce, all the way out to the tackles, to Lane Johnson, as well as in the middle with Big Davis from Georgia, all the way on the outside to Fletcher Cox and them, and even the linebacker scoring and safety at safety position at corners. The Phillies just don't have a lot of weakness where you can attack, and everybody on that defense and offense understand their assignments, play good football, and play their role to their best. So, like you say, for all the reasons that Philly has, everything up front in the trenches where the game is won to take over this game. So give me Philadelphia Eagles here as well.
Another good one on the Sunday slate, the Lions 6-7 at the Jets 7-6. Now, both of these teams are on the bubble, JJ. The Lions, we talked about them, and I highlighted Jared Goff in my player of the week. They won 5 of their last 6 games. With a win here, they can get back to 500. The Jets now, after that loss, they're now on the outside looking in, 7-6, and they need a win as well. And this is, might as well chalk it up as a playoff game. And man, this is a tough one to call, JJ, but I'm going to go with the Lions here. I was very close to riding with the Detroit Lions last week, and I decided to go with the Vikings, and they proved me wrong. I know the Jets' defense, those guys are one of the top units. Robert Saleh will have his defense ready to go against a high-powered offense in the Lions, but what really concerns me about the Jets is, number one, the health of Mike White. I know he has a rib injury. He says he's expecting to play. But Detroit right now, the way they've been able to win in the trenches with that offensive line, you're seeing DeAndre Swift, Jamal Williams, they're starting to generate and just wear on defensive oppositions late in ball games. And then the spark Jameson Williams has given that Lions passing attack, JJ, I don't think that can be stated enough. So give me the Lions here 26-20 in a hard-fought game at MetLife Stadium.
Yeah. I was thinking hard about this game. I thought it was going to be an upset game, but, man, the Lions have took care of business. We know what the Jets was capable of. We know what they was doing in the season. They're still in the mix, but I think the quarterback carousel this week is going to be a toss-up. And when you're going against a team that's on fire right now, that has beat teams that they shouldn't even beat, but just beating them and taking care of business and finishing drives. And like you say, up front, man, the game is won. I told you before, the game is won in the trenches, and they doing everything on the offense and defense side of the ball in the trenches to do that as well. And, you know, I don't think the Jets have enough to kind of control that, yet along with the confidence that they have built over the last 5 out of 6 games, man. So give me Detroit Lions here, Motown, to go into New York City and take care of business.
Steelers at Panthers. These two teams are 5-8, JJ. The Panthers, you know, they control their own destiny in the NFC South. So if they win out, they're the NFC South champions, and they would be hosting a playoff game in round one. And you have to give a lot of credit to interim head coach Steve Wilks for turning things around, rejuvenating them after that whole fiasco of Matt Rhule being fired. But the Steelers, I picked them to beat the Ravens, and they were looking pretty good, JJ, before Pickett went down with that concussion. And, of course, Trubisky came in, threw 3 interceptions, and they ended up losing that game. If Kenny Pickett is healthy and ready to go, I'm going to go with Pittsburgh again here, 23-19. I like that defense. I know both of these defenses really have been dominating these last couple of weeks. Cam Hayward with T.J. Watt with Minka Fitzpatrick. They find a way to get it done. Najee Harris, look for him to get plenty of touches on the ground as well. 23-19, I'm going to go with the Steel Crew.
I'm going to go against my upset of the week right here. I'm going Carolina Panthers, baby. We know what we got at stake. We know that the NFC South title is in the air. The playoffs come in position. Implications is in the air. And I think they feel that. I think they feel like, hey, you know, any battle we go into, we're the underdog. So what do we have to lose? And they've been playing great ball playing like that, because a lot of pressure's off of you. You can fly around. You can do things and have fun. And I think that's what Carolina's doing. They find a way to get over the hump. They find a way to get over the adversity. They find a way to block out all the chatter. And now Steve Wilks, man, is doing a great job of turning that organization around. I think the game is going to be won out wide. As far as the receivers out wide with the Steelers, I like Deontay Johnson. He just really hasn't really showed me he's a real number one takeover guy at the wide receiver game. He does make spectacular catches. He does run great routes. But to be a number one in this league, you have to be able to get into the end zone and find the end zones and put up those yardage in games like this, where you can be where you can make your impact felt. And for me, I think the Carolina on the outside with Horn and those other guys on the outside as well does a good job of matching up personally with the skill set of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So give me Carolina Panthers right here, man, to take care of business and to get them a wild card game and get them a playoff game this year.
All right, Chiefs 10-3 at the Texans 111-1. We know the Texans took the Cowboys down to the wire very uncomfortably. The Chiefs, though, they almost blew a lead to the Denver Broncos up at Mile High on Sunday. I still like the Chiefs here. Big JJ, 37-17. Patrick Mahomes, I know 3 interceptions on Sunday. He'll bounce back on the road at NRG Stadium. I expect Kansas City to take care of business.
Yeah, I'm not really going into depth with. We all know what Texans got going on, but Kansas City, we know how they take care of business, even though it might not be the prettiest, but they found a way to get it done. Mahomes, them is unstoppable right now. They're playing some great ball. So give me Kansas City Chiefs as well.
Patriots at Raiders. New England 7-6, currently holding on to a playoff spot. Taking on the Raiders that are coming off a detrimental loss to the Rams on Thursday Night Football. I still like Las Vegas, though, JJ. Upset pick of the week, number 2. You know Josh McDaniels is going to want to beat his former employer, Bill Belichick. They'll be at home. Raider Nation at this point knows that the playoffs are probably unlikely, but it's still a wild environment there. Max Crosby, Chandler Jones coming off the edge. Let's get the facts straight. Despite that win last night, that Patriots offense, JJ, still looks very lethargic. I mean, a lot of screen plays. You know Mac Jones, he was showing more frustration. I don't trust that offense. The Raiders, meanwhile, have started to figure some things out despite that ugly loss to the Rams. So give me the Raiders here, 24-17.
Man, you know I got to roll with Belichick. It's kind of like the same scenario when Nick Saban going against his old coaches in the SEC and different games like that as well. So it's kind of similar, man, as a guy that prestige great coaches and Belichick. He's not going to go against his old former teammate or own former coach and lose to him. So give me Belichick, man. Their defense is doing a good job of making up for their offense, not being able to put up points at a fast rate, but they still find a way to get it in and do different things. For the Raiders, I think the Raiders, for them to let the Rams come back in a situation where they didn't even have a quarterback that was there for over the week, goes to show you that they got to learn how to finish different things, and finishing in this league is big. So give me the Patriots with their 2 pass rushers. I think their defense is going to do a lot of great things, going to find a way to minimize Devontae Adams, keep Kara Carr to a minimum, stop the run and Josh Jacobs, and find a way to get a dub. So give me the Patriots.
Cardinals 4-9 at the Broncos 3-10. Both of these teams not headed for the postseason. You know that Kyler Murray, by the looks of it in the early prognosis, looks like he tore his ACL on a non-contact injury to start the game last night. Russell Wilson also is in concussion protocol, so we'll see where his status is. Denver, though, I like them here, JJ, because of that defense, the way they fought back. Patrick Surtain, talk about him on the podcast every week, one of the top corners in the NFL. Right now, it's going to be Colt McCoy under center, who has been solid. He had a win earlier this season that was very impressive, but Denver, you know that they want to get a win. They're on a 5-game losing streak. They're at home. Nathaniel Hackett understands that he just needs to get a win, and I think they get it here, especially Russell Wilson is cleared. They showed some signs of life late against Kansas City, 21-16. I like the Broncos to snap that skid and finally get in the win column.
Yeah, my hat's off. I'm keeping my Kyler Murray in my prayers, man. I've been in that role before. I've been in that with the knee injury as well. So a speedy recovery for him. That's a big blow for that Arizona Cardinals team. We know that Colt McCoy does a great job of coming in and filling in, but it's nothing like having that spark that could take off and hit a home run for you anytime at Kyler Murray. But the Broncos did a good job of putting up some points against a good team at Kansas City Chiefs. And I was very much surprised of how they responded to their loss, and they did a good job of putting up points offensively. Defensively, we knew they always had a great unit defensively. So for all those reasons, I'm going to go with the Broncos as well, man, to take care of business against the Cardinals. That's having some troubles finding a way to get it done.
Titans, Chargers, both teams 7-6. A lot at stake for both of these teams. You know, the Titans are still leading their division because it's pretty bad at this point. And the Chargers, big win. I picked them. They got the Dolphins on Sunday night. And Justin Herbert was sensational here. And man, Tennessee, they're having all kinds of issues on offense, JJ. Todd Downing, I know there's been a lot of outrage over there in Tennessee about his inability to call plays, and they're too reliant upon Derrick Henry. And right now, teams, JJ, and I know Henry, as I said on the podcast, he owns Jacksonville, and he went off for over 100 yards. But I think teams at this point are saying, you know what? We're going to force Ryan Tannehill to try to beat us with his arm, but we can limit Derrick Henry. We like our chances. And unfortunately for the Tennessee Titans, that's been the case. And now they go up against the Chargers offense that is potent and can put up points. And so I like the Chargers here 24-20 to continue rolling. The defense was very impressive despite being down Derwin James, Callahan, Sebastian Joseph Day. We'll see if they get those guys back on Sunday. But the Chargers are headed in the right direction. Meanwhile, the Titans are headed downward right now.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember me telling you back a couple weeks ago about, you know, Tannehill and that offense being able to push the ball down the field. It's okay to run the ball, you know, 20 to 30 times a game, but schematically, it's just kind of hard to win doing that over and over and over without pushing the ball downfield and giving defense another option to defend. So with all of those reasons, man, and Tennessee, like you say, is having some hard times finishing games. They're relying a lot on Derrick Henry. The run game is only so much good. It plays better once you can pass it out and get the ball downfield as well. The Chargers did a good job of stepping up to the task last week, taking care of business. And you know, it's going to show you that, you know, they're the only missing piece away from being a great team that they always was capable of being. And give me the Chargers here. I had a hard time going against Derrick Henry. I like what he do. I like what Mike Vrabel. I like how he responds as well to games that's not going his way for the last few weeks. But give me the Chargers here as well. Take care of business.
Bengals at Buccaneers. Cincinnati continuing to roll that win streak. Buccaneers, I think everything was on display on Sunday, how dysfunctional that offense has been. Tom Brady has bailed them out on those game-winning drives a couple of times. They're just not a good team, JJ. Too inconsistent defensively. I know they're also banged up in the secondary. I like the Bengals here, 26-17, to go into Tampa and continue firing on all cylinders on offense. Joe Burrow is feeling it. All of a sudden, has put himself in contention in the MVP race. And mind you, he was my pick for MVP at the beginning of the season. And so the Bengals, I like them all the way here, JJ. Defensively, they're getting after the passer. Hopefully, Trey Hendrickson is okay. I know he's banged up with an injury, but Sam Hubbard has been able to be just as effective. Give me the Bengals here.
Yeah, I agree with you. The Bucks, man, they just kind of seem out of sync and on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, too, we know what they're known for, and they've kind of got away from stopping the run and doing source and putting you in pass situations and being able to pin their ears back and let that pass rush get after you. After Shaq Barrett kind of went down, that the Buccaneers defense and pass rush hasn't looked the same. And for those reasons, man, the Bengals right now are hot. They understand what they're facing. They're trying to take care of business. Joe Burrow is playing MVP ball. Their offense have a lot of weapons that can, you know, they can take the top off, beat you underneath, and run the ball as well. So give me the Bengals to take care of business.
Sunday Night Football, massive implications in the NFC. Giants 7-5-1, Commanders 7-5-1. JJ, twice within 3 weeks, are going to line up against each other. The Giants got throttled by Philly. Commanders hoping to get maybe Chase Young back after that bye week. He's been working himself back from that knee recovery. They'll be at home. This game was flexed to primetime. Give me the Commanders here and Taylor Heinicke to get the job done 27-23. The connection with Terry McLaurin on the outside. And then the Giants, I mean, their injuries are catching up to them. Barkley has kind of lost a little bit of that juice. I know he's battling that neck injury, but they're also very reliant upon him too, JJ. And Daniel Jones really hasn't proven that he can go win a game with his arm considering the receivers he has with him. So give me the Washington Commanders here by 4.
You know, I've been on that Commanders train with Tyler Heinicke and what they have done defensively. They got one of the best defensive front in football with Sweat and those guys. They do a good job of getting after the quarterback. And like I say, the secondary has a chance to kind of mix up different things and sit back and pick off, you know, quarterbacks because the pass rush is doing so good. And the offense as well, too. Brian Robinson doing a good job of responding back from his injuries. I'm glad to see him healthy and doing a great job. He was a great pick for the Commanders, and he's feeding off of that, and he's brutaling and bruising those guys in the fourth quarter, and that's what we hate seeing in the secondary is a big running back running freely up into the second level and pounding on you for four quarters. So for all of those reasons, I think the Giants got bit by the injury bug. The more healthy you are towards the later in the season, is the better off you are. So give me the Commanders here as well.
Last game here, week 15. It is Monday Night Football. Rams 4-9 at the Packers 5-8. I won't go too much into this one. I like Green Bay to get the job done. Baker Mayfield will finally get his first full start with the Rams. They're at Lambeau, though. Cold weather, temperatures, I'm sure it'll be frigid. The Packers are coming off a bye week. They're coming off a win. So I like Green Bay here, JJ, to get the job done 23-16. The Rams, they're still very banged up on both sides of the ball. I don't think they get away with a win this time, especially playing on the road. You know, their fans will be fired up. Rodgers leads the pack to a victory.
Yeah, I think that two-headed monster in Green Bay is going to do a good job of running the ball. Unfortunately for the Rams, they just don't have that monster in the middle for them and Aaron Donald, and that is a big missing piece for that Rams defense. He's been an anchor of that defense for years and decades to come, man. So for all those reasons, and it being December in Green Bay, this is the time where you usually see Green Bay play playoff football. So give me Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers to take care of business on Monday Night Football.
So there you have it, Week 15, slate of games. JJ, we're moving, inching closer to the playoffs. As always, it's a pleasure, man, to have you on the podcast. Enjoy breaking down these matchups. Let's see how we do with our picks this week, JJ. And I hope you have a blessed rest of the week, brother.
Hey, you too, man. I'm excited. I'm going to keep my eyes on that Falcons and Saints game. I think that's going to be the one that put me over the edge. So hopefully my Dirty Birds can break it home. But, man, safety, blessings to you, man, the rest of the week. Looking forward to this week. And like always, man, I thank you for having me on, brother.
Yes, sir. God bless. And until next week, we'll go again.
All right, now. God bless.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.